Welcome back to the Tennis Pulse, the heartbeat of tennis. Roland Garros is winding down, but the drama is still full in swing. So, guys, I want to know. Oh, first, welcome back, Will. Welcome back, Will.
Hi, teams. Missed you guys. Doing a great job.
Okay, guys, I want to know, what has been the biggest stories from Roland Garros so far? What's popping?
Alexander Bublik.
Yay!
Yes!
Yeah!
You took my story away too. I wanted to be first then. Oh. Yeah, I knew you say that, yeah.
Oh okay. My God, I beat you to it.
I thought she was going for Musetti.
I thought so too.
I know, Musetti had heart. Like all the Italian, but you know. Oh my God, Sasha, what did you do? It's been incredible. It really moved me. Like the whole story, his journey, you know, like it dropped to lowest ranking in the last 5 years to top 80, I think it was. And when it was in Indian Wells, nothing was working. It was on a losing streak. And he then even thought about quitting, spoke with his coach. What can I do? And it was in the moment when he was actually very regimented with the training and he was working really hard. Then what did they do? They went to Vegas for 3 days. They did the whole thing.
Oh, man.
Why Vegas?
Hungover. Because they were in Indian Wells. So I think it was a nice, relaxing time and close by. They went there. Had so much fun, came back, changed the racket, changed the strings, and went straight to Phoenix, to a challenger, and reached the final. And from that moment, he did very well in Madrid. He did so well in Rome, where the crowd absolutely adore him because he's the ultimate showman. Yeah. And I'm so impressed and so happy that he won against Jack Draper. I absolutely adore Jack. I think it was a fantastic match and he totally deserved. Also, I like the fact that he cannot outplay his opponents. You know, he cannot really play for 5 hours with Draper's. He doesn't have that capacity, but he's used everything in his toolbox to kind of, make it hard for them.
Yeah, he used everything.
I mean, it was great to see that. Still, players like that are out there, and really, you know, he's just, that's his game, and he loves to do it, and he, you know, it's really nice to see that the player like that can really be successful too. You know, normally it goes up to a certain point, and then the strong straight tennis will win, but to win on a stage like that against Draper, who, in my opinion, was with Sinner, one of the
one
biggest
of the best
contenders, really had his top level and top form. Mm. Beating him was an amazing effort, and I saw the match, and I sent a text to his manager after and said, really nice.
Can we interview him? Did you ask that? What you asked him?
No, I didn't.
We're going to interview him.
That was aggressive.
I did not. But just
congrats. I'm already what to ask.
Charlie, okay, sorry. What did you say? Sorry, Charlie.
Just congratulate him, for the great effort, and he's responded and was so happy that, he finally got there and deserved to win, and they were very, very thankful and happy, of course.
I think it's great.
I hope that he can gain
his confidence and move forward and like really rebuild himself. And like, I think his time now is to shine. So proud moment for sure.
I mean, to be honest, it's a very fine line with these kind of players because it could happen that next week he does the same thing and he's losing first round.
I mean, we've seen that happen.
He's much more stable now, and he chooses better. I mean, before it was completely crazy how he chooses his shot collection, but he's much better now. But it always can happen with these players that you have a tournament where the drop shots don't work, and you don't have to touch what you need for his game. But it's great to see him there, and it's going to be fun to see him playing against Sinner. It's going to be tough. But
yeah, that's going to be tough.
Yeah, but he's...
I have to say...
He's the player, if you say that somebody's playing against Sinner right now and he's on his best, how can you beat him? And Bublik is a guy, he's making his if he's serving well, that's one thing. You have a hard time to break him, and anything can happen. And these guys, they don't know how to play. So, you know, you never, we'll see what, how he can compete.
No, I love Bublik. He is pure entertainment to me. I mean, you never know what's coming next. I actually thought Monfils was the entertainer on the court. I think he's topped Monfils as the entertainment value. I mean, the front tweeners, his underhand serves, it's just so unpredictable. And you guys know he hit 37 drop shots against
Draper.
Oh,
wow, that's amazing.
It was 37. Wow. Like, what is that? That's insane. Amazing. It's so exciting.
And you know,
it's super exciting to watch him to play.
What I really respect is that normally players like that, they play this game up to a certain point when the match is going to be decided. They say, okay, now maybe I have to play normal or a normal solid or a normal serious point. And he just keeps going. Doesn't matter what the score, doesn't matter if it's match point against him or whatever.
You saw the set point, the tweener in between the legs.
That's
the set point that was just like pure entertainment. Thank you.
Yeah,
but that's his whole vibe, you know. It's
on the match point.
Yes. Oh, talking about double fault. Do you know last year that he was the leader in double faults? Do you know that? He had like 300 and something double faults last year.
I think half of that was the underhand serve as well, too, probably.
I like him even
probably
more.
Yeah. Those underhands. Yeah.
I love the fact that in every interview they ask him, why are you so different from all the others? It's like, guys, I'm not different. I'm actually really normal. All the others that are really crazy. I'm a social guy. I like to party. I don't take tennis too seriously. I'm just a man that plays tennis. And I love how real and perfect this is for him. This is his harmony.
He's got a very cool vibe overall. I think that's how a very carefree approach to life, to tennis. I read that he said he's 50% tennis player, 50% family and friends. That's like what he focuses on. And or said father and friends, sorry.
Oh, wow.
So I think this is how he rolls. And I think also, I think he keeps his circle very tight as well. He has his wife travels with him, his fitness coach, his coach. So he keeps his support system like quite tight, which I think so keeps him grounded, but also relaxed too. So that's really nice to see.
You know a lot
I
about
love watching
him.
His interviews. I did my research. I was, listen, first of all, he's my new favorite player. So I was definitely into looking and reading more about all about Bublik. So shout out to you, Bublik. Let's go.
You know what he said in an interview last year, they were asking about like his entertainment value. And he's like, you know, people come, they spend their Sunday away from their family. You got to give them a little entertainment, you know, they're taking time away, you know? And I'm like, yes, I love it. Thank you. I hope he beats Sinner. This is going to air on Friday. So let's see. Let's see what
goes on.
Don't
beat Luigi. Don't.
I saw him 5 or 6 years ago in Roland Garros outside court for the first time. And he was, I mean, going for second serves like crazy. And I said, I mean, this guy is very talented and huge, but he's just completely crazy. He's going to win something, but nothing, you know, not on this stage. But I think he matured a little bit,
I've been channeling him actually last weekend when I had to play a match with my team and I've been out 6 months with my shoulders and I can't really serve. So I had to do underarm serve the whole match.
Hey.
So I was channeling Bublik. Give me some.
Those work. Look at Sarah Irani. She's popping those out in doubles. I mean, she's really, hey, when in doubt, underhand serve.
Yes.
Do
we
it.
Even won a few games on my serve. Funny enough, that was the achievement of the day.
Okay, I want to get to who I thought Federico was going to choose, but can we talk about Lorenzo Musetti?
Oh, yes, please.
I mean, really, 23. He was kind of always like top 20, top 30 since 2022, I think. And it took him like 2 years to really move into the top 10. I mean, can we just say wonderful victory and so wonderful to see him. I think definitely he's one of the most improved players. Let's talk about Lorenzo,
Let's
per
talk about
favore.
him.
I
It's
love that
incredible how good he's doing on clay. Every tournament he's
he's a
reaching
clay court
semifinal.
Player.
It's insane.
No, he's a clay court player, right, Charlie? I mean, that's
it's a strong game.
His
Yeah.
specialty.
I mean, that's his best surface. And but also, why is he so successful? I mean, first of all, he has one of the best footwork in the game. That's what you can
Great
see.
Mover.
And he's also one of the guys being able to change pace, to change height, slice, spin, angles. And that's why, you know, he got more solid in his overall game. And I think big step, he stepped up mentally huge. You know, he's staying tough, he's staying focused. I think before if it didn't work out well, he dropped out of the mental strength. And I think this is the big change now.
You know what his coach said about him? You know, he's been with his coach, who's like a father figure for him since he was 9 years old. Simona Tartarini.
You got to put the shoulders in there, nice.
Simona
Tartarini.
Said that.
Tartarini.
Okay, so Mr. Tartarini said that Musetti is in the process of extracting order from his chaos. Interesting, huh? So it's interesting what you said, Charlie, about, extracting order from the chaos.
I think the nicest thing I've read and seen in the interview is that he always said, no matter if at some point I'm going to have a super coach, he will always be there. Because he knows exactly what to say in every moment and knows him inside out so well that that's a strong bond and a strong coach and player.
I really like his calmness, you know, on the side. He just
he's so young.
The coach.
Musetti the coach?
No, the coach.
Oh, sorry.
The coach. Okay. I was like, Musetti?
No, the coach. How he sits there.
He improved.
No matter how tight. And of course, this is a big step for them, semi-final in the Grand Slam. But he's very chilled, it seems like. Which is, I think he gives him a lot of peace and calm sitting on the side.
He's a father, soon to be a father of two, actually.
Of two, yeah.
At his young age. I think that's really remarkable.
Yeah, he's 23.
Yeah.
He's so young. I didn't realize that.
So young, so successful. And let me tell you what my favorite thing that he said on court was this week. Interview on court said, Lorenzo is so beautiful. Your game is so elegant to watch. And he goes, well, you know, I'm Italian. We are elegant.
No, that's true. Facts. That is true. Facts. Yeah, I mean, he's keeping the flame burning for that beautiful one-hander backhand. This is classic shot that I think is, you know, kind of being lost in a way in tennis. So I love that he's one of the very few one-hand backhanders left. So we lost Gasquet, and now it's, you know, not many left on the tour.
I think we only have 8 in the top 100.
Really?
Eight
wow.
in the top 100. Charlie, do you see any young players that are holding up with the one hand back in, or is it just what's the future of
you
tennis
see it
in that
sometimes
way?
But I would say 9 out of 10 play with a double-handed backhand, because you do have disadvantages with the one-handed backhand, especially on the return. So I mean, coaches they just teach now from the beginning on, and unless a player really picks up by nature a one-handed backhand. But definitely with the game so fast, you don't have advantages, but it's nice to see.
Oh, it's so beautiful to see.
You know, if you have a one-handed backhand and you get high spin balls, it's very difficult to play them with one hand unless you can slice them. But slice on a heavy spin is also not easy. So that's basically the disadvantages you have, and game is getting faster, and you really have to be very talented to execute this one-handed backhand well and compete on the top level.
I had to change back in junior tennis. I had to change my backhand, a two-hander to a one-hand.
Oh, really?
Like, how'd that go for you?
Ooh, it was rough. It was hard. So I just ended up hitting slices all the time, but I had to play a tournament. I had to learn it within like months, and I had to go play a tournament. And it was, I just ran around my backhand, did a lot of running around my backhand, just hitting the
Same with
forehand,
me.
but it was
My
hard.
coach changed me
Yeah.
once from both-handed to one-handed. And
Oh,
the thing
really?
was,
Oh.
yeah, at that time they thought, okay, you have a disadvantage because you have less reach on the both-handed backhand, and also it's difficult with the volley because you're not used to use one hand, etc. And after 3 months, I changed back. I said,
But
listen,
Charlie, when you hit your backhand, you actually have a one hand in a way. You always like let go at last minute.
Yeah, that's a little bit in between. That was my weakness because I had a very good two-handed change to one-handed, and I never got back to a good two-handed backhand.
Proper two-hander, yeah. So this is what Charlie and I have in common. We have no
Well,
backhands.
that makes us two. So that's all
The
five.
tennis
tennis
ball,
All five of
no
us.
backhand,
Wouldn't
no
say I have
backhand.
no. I wouldn't say I have no backhand, but.
Sorry, coaches. They're
Yeah.
trying so hard with me, but he's not coming back.
Welcome to the tennis balls, the heartbeat of no backhands.
Change
Average
tagline.
backhands, yes. Okay, so I think I'll say Forza Lorenzo. I mean, he was a bronze medalist on clay last time he was in Paris, so let's see how far he gets. I want to know, did you guys see what happened though during the match against TFO, Francis TFO?
Yeah, he hit that ball. He
Yeah,
hit
what
that
was happening? Yeah.
empire. Everybody see that clip?
Yes. Yeah. What do
No.
you think? So, okay, so he was playing around with the ball with his foot between a point and then kicked it and then it hit the lines judge in the chest. It wasn't like a he did apologize, but Francis on the other end was like, "Hello?" He just hit
So
the linesman with the ball. So he was
he didn't get
like,
any
nope.
warning?
Let me have that. He's like
It
kicking. He
did.
got
It
a, he
did.
did get a warning. He was like kicking it and then like kicked it. Okay, that's going to be interesting on camera. And then and then it hit the lines judge, but it wasn't like really aggressive. But he
No,
did
and
get a
the line
warning, but
judge.
he didn't get disqualified. Yeah.
Yeah. So Djokovic 2020, he got disqualified the US Open. Do you guys remember that?
Yes.
Yeah.
He
And
hit
I
the
mean that
lines judge
he hit the
in the
lines
throat.
judge in the
I
throat.
think
Oh,
it
I saw
always
that playback.
depends.
That was
I
aggressive.
mean,
Yeah,
I
I
didn't
actually
see it. I didn't see it. It always depends if
Yeah.
is it out of anger that you really kick to something, or is it out of playful and by accident, or I think you have to really make a difference there.
Well, most
I
of the time
think
it's out of anger, no? I
frustration,
think I
yeah.
looked into the rule book,
Yeah.
and the rule book also mentioned the damage that that caused. And what was clear here is that she wasn't hit, she wasn't in pain, she didn't even move, she didn't bend, she didn't cry. Like every other time, there was several distress on because it happens more than once. I mean, I looked all the way back until Wimbledon in '95, and Shapovalov.
Shapovalov.
La la la
Dennis.
la, Shapovalov.
Dennis.
No shoulders this time, no shoulders.
Shapovalov in Davis Cup 2017. There was this double with the Kato that got
Remember.
disqualified in 2023, the French Open. And I looked at back and all the clips, and you could see like real distress on the line umpires or
Yeah.
the ball kids, or crying and tears. Some had to seek medical treatment. So this case, I think it went the way it went because there was nothing of that.
Yeah,
But
the grand
it got lucky also because it could have been read
in the face or
Yeah, but there's
yeah,
also
different
there's an
way.
incident that
And
happened in 2023 with a Japanese player who was playing doubles against the women's, and she just hit the ball back to the other players and hit the ball kid. And the ball kid wasn't physically hurt. It was just more so embarrassment, and the kid
yeah.
was crying. And then the Sarabo from Spain called out the other player, and she got disqualified. So I mean, like
Yeah, kind
it's a mixed decision, honestly, in my opinion. But I think that was really aggressive what he did, honestly, in my opinion. But he should have been fined. I think he should be
Yep.
fined, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean,
I love.
TFO also said in the press
should be
conference, he
fined.
said, "I think it's comical," meaning that he didn't get disqualified. And he said, "It's not consistent,"
It's true.
which I
I agree
can,
with. I agree with.
I
Yeah.
agree with that.
Yeah.
TFO was
I.
like,
Yeah.
"Aren't y'all gonna check that? Do you see in the video?" He was like, "Hello."
Yeah, but look
Yeah,
at
but
all the clips and
I really
compare
don't
them.
appreciate if if the opponent is pointing out to the referee, you should check that, and then pointing on the other player. I think that's not the job of TFO doing that.
I agree with that.
I think he might be a little sour about that other fine that he had to pay.
Oh,
Oh yeah.
yeah.
The one where
With
he
the
said F
F-bombs.
you with the F-bombs to
Yeah.
the
Yeah.
umpire after the match.
That was a
Yeah.
big fine. That was a big
Woo.
fine.
That was a lot of F-bombs,
It
too.
was.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
What? That
One
was one
after
good word.
another.
My biggest upset would have to be Jessica Pegula. She like lost.
I was,
Yeah.
you stealing
Look,
my,
y'all running into the story. We gotta get into it. Come on. We gotta get
I
into it.
know.
I love it. I mean, I was like
Loi,
screaming
Loi,
from my hotel room, and I
same.
was changing the shower and jumping in and out. I'm like, watching it, watching it, watching it, match point, match point. But I thought it was amazing. That girl, I think she Jessica had 2 points, I think, to win. They went to like two long like advantages. But I think the player from France, is it Lois? Is that her name?
It's
Yeah.
Loi
Boisson,
Boisson.
Messi, Messi, Messi.
Oui.
But I think she played amazing.
I get it. I
She was
practice
running
that a
around her
lot.
backhand and just hitting it. She had the perfect game to upset Jessica. But I think Jessica was just so frustrated she couldn't get back into the game, sadly.
Yeah, no, she's ranked
Yeah, came through
361,
qualies.
guys.
Came through qualies.
361 came through qualies.
Wild
I mean,
card.
she,
Oh, wild card,
while,
sorry.
yeah,
My part,
it
sorry.
was such, yeah, I
Wild
mean,
card in qualies or not?
incredible
Just.
match.
Was it wild card or was it qualies? I think it's wild card. Wild
Wild
card.
card.
No, wild card for sure,
Yeah.
but
Wild
wild
card.
card in qualies.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm so proud of her. She did an amazing amazing match. Did you guys see Yannick Noah in, I think it was her box or some box, screaming for her, watching the match? He was like on edge, biting his nails back and forth. He was watching it, and then like she would win a point, and he was like screaming, like cheering, and at the end, allez! And at the end, he was like, wee 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 wee. It was like French
And
pride.
the
I loved
French
it. It
crowd
was
is
so
always going to
cool to
root for
see.
you, honestly, and hype you up. I mean, it's no
Yeah,
doubt
I
about
love it.
that.
I love it.
Yeah, that was a good match to watch.
No,
Great
she's
story.
incredible.
Great
For sure.
story.
I sent a picture of her biceps to my
She's
fitness trainer. I was
insanely
like,
fit.
hashtag goals.
She's so
Let's
insanely
go.
fit. It's
Let's go.
insane. My
Oh
God.
my God, those muscles
Yeah.
she has.
I was
Wow. And
like,
you know the amazing thing is what she has, what you hardly see in women's tennis. She has a real kick
Yeah.
serve.
Yeah.
The ball really
Yeah.
kicks, and it's tough because you need
Tough tennis.
strength, you need the right technique, and she has that, and that's very unique for a woman's serve.
Charlie, did you know this player before?
No, never heard of her.
Yes, yeah, you did. You do know this player.
Yeah.
We talked about this player together on a Riverside. We talked about this player together. I'm gonna
Yeah, but
roll the
at that
clip.
time I didn't
Wait,
know it
roll
either, so.
the clip. Wait, roll the clip. Harriet Dart, during a match, told the umpire that her French player, Louise Boisson, smells really bad. And it
What?
was picked up on the mic.
I never.
Her exact words were, "Can you tell her to wear deodorant because she
Oh
smells
my
really
God.
bad?"
I never heard that before. I would tell her, okay, during the changeover, you go around the other side of the net to avoid that, and mind your own business.
Charlie, do you remember? Do you remember the player now, Charlie?
I do. No idea.
Yes. Did she ever get her Dove sponsorship?
Oh.
I
I don't know, but
wonder.
it was funny that she acted that way
Oh,
after that
that
Yeah.
was
outburst
so
of her opponent,
funny.
because that was
Yeah.
really, I
That was
think,
rude.
really low.
Yeah,
Yeah.
especially from the UK
And she
player.
was
Yeah.
just,
That was him.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah, it was really
Well,
low.
that's
But
good.
hey, she got her sweet revenge though.
Yes.
All right.
She
Very
did.
quick history lesson, everybody. Really
Yes.
quick. Who was the last French man to win the Roland Garros?
Oh, that's
Oh,
so
I
easy.
know that.
Come on. Yannick.
No.
No. Yeah,
Oh my
okay.
God.
Yeah.
Stop. Sebastian,
Noah.
no, no?
Yeah. No.
It wasn't Sebastian.
Yeah, Yannick
Oh.
Noah. Yeah.
Yeah, Yannick.
Who was the last French woman to win
Oh, I know
Roland
this.
Garros?
Marie
No.
Pierce. Pierce.
Yeah.
That was
Yay!
him.
Yes,
Exactly.
exactly.
Yeah. Mary
Okay.
Pierce,
Two thousand.
yeah.
What year
Mary
was that?
Pierce.
2002?
Oh,
2002?
close, close. 2000.
Okay.
Are we going into
2000.
Yeah.
trivia?
Well,
We're
I
going
was
to
that close.
trivial. Sorry.
I need to prepare for
You're
this.
close.
I was good, yeah.
Okay, I actually, do you guys know how they started to play on clay?
It was.
Oh, more
Oh
trivial.
my God,
No.
more questions.
It was.
I feel feel okay, on the, I, back I'll tell in school. You.
So the British players were playing like in the south of France, and they realized that the grass they were playing on, because of the Mediterranean weather, was drying out, and they decided they crushed terracotta, and that became the first time that we had clay courts.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
They crushed terracotta. I think to wrap it up, this French Open kind of recap, I want to ask you guys, what do you guys think about this whole night match controversy where they're saying women aren't given even the evening slots? Is it bias, ratings, or is it something deeper? Go and make it quick.
I think from a standpoint, I can understand what Amélie Mauresmo is saying as far as like she wants the customer to get more insight and see more of the viewers and so and so. But I think it is somewhat kind of biased because I think women do deserve to play a night match, honestly. I was there last week and it was only men's, and I really wished I could see like the women's play as well too, because I'm a huge advocate for the WTA tour, and I love the women's players, honestly. That's my take on it.
And usually women are playing during lunchtime, and French usually go to
from
lunch.
12 to 4, they said.
And they don't have any catering in the center court, so it's very much empty, because everybody goes to the village to eat. So that's really sad for top players.
That's true.
Yeah,
and I mean, do understand this, you know, the point behind two sets versus five sets. But at the same time, you can have women playing and attach a double after, or maybe two matches, so that you make it longer for those ticket holders. But we should definitely show more women.
Agree.
It should be
agree.
Equal.
Agree.
I totally agree. Billie Jean King even talked about that, she's been super vocal about this and, you know, saying you need to push for equal exposure. It's really about shifting the public perception and changing this old narrative about women's matches. So I think the simple solution is, having it start earlier, doing a kind of a double header. So you have a women's match first or second, or men's followed by a men's match or vice versa, but just giving the fans like a full evening of matches. Yeah. And that way also giving women a bit of a spotlight they
and
deserve.
This is the only,
it's like in the US
Open. This is the only tournament.
In the US Open, they always have a men's and a women's match, but it goes forever. Yeah. That's the problem. And I guess they want to sell, you know, the night session, and two men's matches is too long. One man match is not enough, or one woman match is not enough. I mean, my theory is a bit different. I think it's just the demand of TV.
Agree. And we can see that from our standpoint as well, too. Like, well, I have Tennis Channel, and I also have HBO Max, and most of the plays are only on HBO TNT, and there's like no broadcast for women's tennis on Tennis Channel, which is appalling to me. There really is no equal rights here.
Yeah,
there's no airing at all. It's very frustrating,
honestly. I think this is
another
bigger point.
Yeah, but I think, and also Roland Garros is the only tournament that does not play women's, have women's night matches. I mean, for instance, you can see that on the US Open. Serena's always coming in at night, playing night matches. It's because she sells the most tickets.
Yeah. You know, since 2022, there's only been two women's night matches or primetime matches for women. And that was, I'm just looking at my stats. So 2022, Elise Cornet versus Ostapenko, and then there was one in 2023 with Sabalenka and Sloane Stephens, and that's it. So that's quite interesting.
I definitely think it's if you have only one night match, I think one woman's match is not enough, because it could be over in it can be very quick, especially on the women's side. You sometimes you have really from the top players, you have really short matches, and people paying a lot of money for this night session. It's the same as for the day session, almost. As Sunny said, you know, either they start earlier, play a men's and a women's always, or have another whatever doubles or something else, because it's one woman's match is not enough for the night session. Anyway, I believe it's a bit different. It's a bit different in Paris. Also, I think, you know, in Australia, where the night session works very well, in the US Open, it works very well. The players are happy to play at night because it's not so hot. Mm-hmm. In Paris, I mean, it's really getting chilly in the evening. Mm-hmm. You cannot play basically too long. I think they should not do it. I think they should just continue, have whatever, 4 or 5 matches on the center court, followed by, and they won't have even the discussion. And they make a lot of enough money already with the French Open.
Just very, very quickly, which I found kind of funny, Amélie Mauresmo, the tournament director, and as we know, former WTA player, she said that the reasoning behind all of this also was that the men's matches have best of 5 yeah. sets, so much longer, more entertainment value for the ticket holders. I find it interesting, as the kicker, here's the kicker, the last 2 men's night matches, Alcaraz and Tommy Paul, and Sinner and Rublev, have been under 2 hours and 30 minutes. That's like the average time of a women's 3-setter match, pretty much. So, interesting.
I agree. Brava.
So, and you also, never know. Mm-hmm. Where's the entertainment value there? Boom.
Draw.
Because this is tennis. Yeah, and also Pam Shriver wasn't
she
having
wasn't.
It either.
She was very vocal about that.
She was very vocal and said, you know, especially as a female, like, she doesn't buy it. She doesn't buy it. So let's see. We push for more women tennis night matches in the future. Roland Garros.
The cat, please. Roland Garros.
I think we're going to have an episode, a full episode on this discussion. And we should bring in some WTA players as well.
Yes, exactly.
For this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so last question to wrap it up. Will, who's winning the women and who's winning the men Roland Garros? Who is it? Really
I
quick.
Think,
one name.
I
go.
Think Iga is going to win, honestly. And I'm going to go for Musetti, honestly. We'll see.
I think Jannik is going to win. But I would also love a Musetti. That would be amazing. Sabalenka.
SS, Sabalenka, Sinner.
Same for me.
I know. Same for me, too. Sabalenka, Sinner. And I want someone else. I do. I want Musetti, actually. But I think the odds are
I love an upset.
Too. Okay. Yeah, me too. Yeah. We love an upset. Okay. Thank you so much. What? Oh, Bublik. Bublik.
You didn't say it. You didn't say it.
I know. Sorry, Bublik. But okay, no, I'm going to change. Bublik and Sabalenka. Just to put the energy out there for him.
Why not?
Thank you so much for tuning into the Tennis Pulse, the heartbeat of tennis. This is your Roland Garros recap. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And thank you so much for listening and watching. We see you on the next.